From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. The great American novelist F. Scott Fitzgerald once wrote, "There are no second acts in American lives." Well, I'm pleased to inform you that Fitzgerald was wrong. We can experience a new beginning after a major failure. And in fact, our mistakes can be a stepping stone to later success in life. As we continue our series, Second Chance, Second Act, I'll show you that while failure may be painful, it can also be profitable. I've titled my message, "Don't Mess Up for Free," on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
We all make mistakes, almost every hour of every day. But because of God's grace, your failure does not have to be fatal. Dr. Robert Jeffress has written a book called Second Chance, Second Act, featuring five biblical strategies to turning your messes into successes. Discover how God can turn your biggest mistake into a new beginning. Request Dr. Jeffress's best-selling book, Second Chance, Second Act, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory today.
Every day, ordinary people make the choice to repeat their mistakes rather than learn from their mistakes. Remember, failure is inevitable. We're all going to mess up big time at some point in our life. And even though the grace of God erases the eternal consequences of our sin, God's grace does not erase the temporary consequences of our sin. We have to pay a price for our failure. We're going to pay a price. We're going to pay a price either in one lump sum or on the monthly installment basis. But failure has a price tag to it. That price tag may include a bankruptcy, a termination from a job, a divorce, or even imprisonment. Even though we're going to pay a price for our failure, we have a choice. We can learn from that failure, or we can keep on repeating it. And that's why the second principle for having a second act and second chance in life is this: don't mess up for free. And that's what we're going to talk about today, how to learn from your failures rather than repeat your failures. By the way, did you know the fact that God makes you suffer the temporary consequences of your mistake is a sign of God's love for you, not his hatred of you? Think about it this way. Think about a rancher who puts up an electric fence or a barbed wire fence around his acreage. Why does he put that fence around his acreage? Because he hates the cattle? No. He cares about their well-being. He wants to prevent them from wandering onto a busy highway or into the hands of a wrestler. Every time a cow presses up against that boundary, he's going to feel the sting or the shock of the fence. It's a reminder to that cow to stay within the boundaries. In the same way, God has established boundaries in our lives. And whenever we go past those boundaries, we're going to feel the pain of that action, not because God hates us, but because he loves us. Nevertheless, feeling that sting, that shock in our life can be very, very painful. Although we don't have any choice about whether we pay a failure fee, we do have a choice about whether we're going to learn from it or not. And that leads to a different perspective about failure I want you to think about today. Instead of viewing the mistake you've made in your past and the painful consequences that follow, instead of viewing those things as unwelcome circumstances over which you have no control, I want you to start thinking about your mistake and the painful consequences as actually the fee you have paid to a consultant to help you improve your life. You have probably already paid a very steep price for this big mistake in your life. It is a non-refundable fee you've paid. Why in the world would you not learn from that fee rather than ignoring the advice you're getting and continuing your failure? And that leads to a very important word in the Bible I want us to talk about today. It's the word reproof. You'll find this word especially in the book of Proverbs. Jot this down on your notes. What is a reproof? Reproofs describe the lessons that failure provides. Reproofs describe the lessons that failure provides. Specifically, in the scripture, a reproof is a negative consequence that results from a mistake we've made. Now, the Bible describes two different ways to respond to these negative consequences, these reproofs that come into our life when we make a mistake. The wise person is one who learns from his reproofs, while the foolish person ignores reproofs. The wise person learns from these negative circumstances that come into his life, while the foolish person ignores them. In his collection of Proverbs, Solomon contrasts the wise man and the fool in how they respond to reproofs, or sometimes the Bible uses the term discipline. Discipline is simply another word for reproofs. Just jot down some of these references in Proverbs. Proverbs 10:17. He is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who forsakes reproof goes astray. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. You know, my parents told me never to call people stupid, but Solomon does it. He says, if you don't learn from the mistakes you made, you're stupid. You're a moron. Only a fool would continue to pay over and over again for mistakes he's already made. Proverbs 13, 18. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards, that is, embraces reproof, will be honored. Proverbs 15, 10. Stern discipline is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die. Proverbs 29, 1. A man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. How can you keep from falling into the same trap? Well, let's talk about how we can keep from messing up for free. That is, how to profit from your first act failures. And there are four biblical principles I want us to consider today that will help us do just that. First of all, properly assess your failure. When you're confronted with a failure in your life, it's important that you properly assess it. Remember what we said last time? Failure is not an event in your life. It's a judgment about an event in your life. And that judgment may be accurate or it may be inaccurate. It's important to properly assess your failure. Romans 12:3 says we need to think so as to have sound judgment. That leads to principle number two. Learn on somebody else's nickel. Learn on someone else's nickel. You know, it's good to learn from your failure, but you know what's better? To learn from somebody else's failure, to let somebody else pay the price for failure, and you learn from what they did wrong. Sidney Finkelstein has written a book, Why Smart Executives Fail. And in this book, he interviewed 200 chief executives who had made bad mistakes. He said, you know, most books deal with people's successes. I want to deal with their failures and see what lessons we can learn from people's failures. As a result of this study, Sidney Finkelstein developed a 5-day course at the Dartmouth School of Business on why businesses fail. And he said in his book, some of the best learning comes from studying the things that go wrong. Studying the things that go wrong. That's not only the way to build a great business, it's the way to build an effective life as well. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24, where Solomon makes that observation. Solomon, the wisest person who ever lived, illustrated the importance of learning from people's mistakes. Look at this, Proverbs 24, beginning with verse 30. I passed by the field of a sluggard and by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and the stone wall was broken down. Apparently, Solomon was taking a morning stroll. And as he was walking around his neighborhood, he noticed one piece of property that had become an eyesore. The grass was overgrown. The fence was broken down. The paint was peeling from the house. What was his response to that? Did he get angry and say, I can't believe my neighbor allowed this to happen. He is going to ruin my property value. I'm going to call the homeowners association and lodge a complaint. Or did he become prideful and say, look at that sluggard. I'm so glad I'm industrious. I would never let that happen to my piece of property. No, he didn't respond that way. Instead of becoming angry or prideful over somebody else's mistake, he decided to learn from that mistake. Look at verses 32 to 34. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and I received instruction. And this is the instruction he received. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. Exactly what is it that Solomon learned from his neighbor's failure? The Old Testament scholar Derek Kidner sums it up this way. The wise man will learn while there is time. He knows that the sluggard, the lazy person, is no freak, but as often as not, an ordinary man who has made too many excuses, too many refusals, and too many postponements. It has been as imperceptible and as pleasant as falling asleep. When you see somebody who has failed in his business, in his marriage, in his relationship with God, don't gloat over another person's failure. Do you know all of us have this tendency inside when we see somebody else fail to kind of rejoice in it? It makes us feel better about ourselves to say, look at what happened to him or her. Did you know the Bible says you better never rejoice in somebody else's failure? In fact, Proverbs 17:5 says, those who rejoice at the misfortune of others will be punished. Don't gloat when somebody else fails. And whatever you do, don't become prideful over it. Don't say, oh, I would never make that mistake. Remember the warning of Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:12. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. Don't gloat. Don't become prideful. Instead, Solomon says, learn from the failures of other people. In fact, let me give you three questions you ought to ask yourself when you see somebody else fail. And by the way, parents, grandparents, you need to teach your children to do this as well. You need to, when they see, when somebody else fails, maybe it's somebody they know, maybe it's somebody in the entertainment world or the political world, you need to use other people's failures as a way to instruct your children. And when you see people fail, here are three questions you ought to ask. Number one, what wrong assumptions, attitudes, or habits led to that person's downfall? What wrong assumptions, attitudes, or habits led to his downfall? Number two, have I adopted some of those same assumptions, attitudes, and habits in my life? Have I adopted some of those same assumptions, attitudes, and habits in my life? And number three, what can I do differently to avoid the same pitfall? That leads to principle number three. Instead of churning over your failure, start learning from your failure. That is, instead of lamenting and having a pity party for yourself about the painful consequences you continue to experience from your first act failure, why not start learning from those mistakes? Proverbs 13, verse 18 says, poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. You say, well, how do you learn from your mistakes? There are three people you ought to consult after your failure so that you can learn from your failure. First of all, there are some questions you ought to ask other people. Hopefully, you have one or two people in your life who care about you deeply and want to see you succeed, who will tell you the truth about your life. And when you fail big time in your life, hopefully there are one or two people you can go to ask some very pointed questions. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Secondly, you ought to schedule an appointment with yourself to ask yourself some important questions after a first act failure. And that leads to the third person, and perhaps the most important person to consult with after your first act failure, and that's God Himself. Nobody knows you better. Nobody wants to see you succeed more than your Creator. And that's why it's important that we ask Him for guidance, especially after we fail. James 1:5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it shall be given to him. You know, we all say, oh, we need to pray for wisdom. Well, what does that mean? Wisdom isn't just some abstract commodity. We're asking for God's point of view in specific circumstances, especially after we have failed. We need God's perspective on our failure. We need to have a consultation with ourselves, with other people, and certainly with God. That leads to a fourth way to learn from your failure. Use your advance warning system to avoid failure. Hopefully, you have surrounded yourself with some people who will warn you when you're about to crash and burn. Some people can alert you to the possibility of failure and shout out, "Watch out! Watch out! Watch out!" The fact is, you and I need people in our life who will tell us the truth. You know, this piece of advice is worth the price of the message this morning. I would encourage you this week to find one or two people, close friends, who love you enough to tell you when you're getting ready to make a big mistake. Say to them, "I value your counsel so much that if you see me about to make a mistake in my marriage, in my work, in my relationship with God, in any part of my life, I want you to know you have complete freedom to tell me about that. And I promise if you tell me, I won't resent you for doing so." Now, if you make that pledge to somebody and institute your own advance warning system, it's important that when they give you that counsel, you receive it. You may not always agree with it, but to receive it and thank them for it instead of resenting them. It is important that we all have that kind of advance warning system to avoid failure. Many of you know the name of Dale Carnegie. He's recognized as one of the most successful motivational speakers of all time. His book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, has sold over 15 million copies. His Carnegie Institute for Effective Speaking has trained thousands of people in the art of communication. But what you may not know is Dale Carnegie was not always a success. His early life was marked by consistent failure. Born into poverty, he determined that he wanted to be a successful speaker. In college, he entered a number of speaking tournaments. He didn't win one. In fact, he failed to graduate from college because he couldn't pass Latin. After dropping out of college, he went to New York City, trying to become an actor. He failed there as well. With no way to make a living, he went to the local YMCA and offered to teach speech courses there, public speaking courses. The YMCA said they didn't have the money to pay him his usual $2 per class fee. So he agreed to teach for free if they would give him his fee if the students would remain in the class. They agreed to do so. And so for the next years, Dale Carnegie earned a meager salary teaching these classes at the YMCA. But in his off time, he was writing pamphlets for his students on effective speaking, doing so free of charge. Later, those free pamphlets would become the basis for his mega best-selling books. What was the key to Dale Carnegie's success during his second act in life? His biographer summarizes it this way. Carnegie rose to fame as one of the most effective trainers of speakers and one of the best-selling authors of all time. Two keys enabled him to turn his failure into success. Number one, his unwillingness to be stopped by failure. And number two, his willingness to learn from his failure. Simply put, Dale Carnegie refused to mess up for free. And so should you. Let me assure you, your life is not over. In fact, this could be your greatest hour. Now, before we wrap up today's program, let me say a heartfelt word of thanks to those who support Pathway to Victory financially. You're making an investment in others who need to hear this message of redemption. And God will use your gift to touch the lives of broken people. Thank you for investing your personal financial resources in the ministry of Pathway to Victory. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
All of us carry some measure of regret about the past. Thankfully, no mistake is too big for God to forgive. And in his best-selling book, Second Chance, Second Act, Dr. Robert Jeffress shares how God can turn your biggest mess into your greatest success.
In my book, Second Chance, Second Act, you'll discover five biblical strategies for turning your messes into successes. You'll learn to overcome the guilt, suffering, and regret of your past mistakes. And you'll read stories from Scripture that prove that God is in the business of redemption.
The book, Second Chance, Second Act, is yours when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $60 or more, You'll also receive all 8 of the original unedited messages from the Second Chance Second Act teaching series on both CD and DVD.
Have you ever made a horrendous mistake in your life and you thought, how in the world could I ever have done that? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what failure you have experienced. Your failure, your sin, doesn't have to be the final word about your life story.
Pathway to Victory is bringing the transforming hope and power of God's Word to your home, your city, and throughout the country. Thank you for supporting Pathway to Victory by requesting the Second Chance, Second Act book and teaching series, and start your journey toward redemption today.
We're all going to pay a price for our mistakes, but why pay that price more than once? God knows we're going to mess up in ways both big and small. But in every case, God is not only willing to forgive us of our mistakes, He is the master at redeeming our worst mistakes for His glory. Well, between our first act failures and our future success, God often imposes an intermission in our life story. And while waiting periods aren't always pleasant, I'm going to show you next time how you can actually enjoy your intermission in life. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Jeffress's best-selling book called Second Chance, Second Act. Plus, 3 complimentary issues of Pathway Magazine are our gift to you simply for contacting us today at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $60 or more, we'll also send you the complete Second Chance, Second Act teaching series on both CD and DVD. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
Now, just as you would never try to drive in a blizzard but would stop until the storm passed through. So, after a first act failure, we should never try to make an immediate decision. We need to wait until the storm passes and we can see clearly.
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, Enjoy Your Intermission, here on Pathway to Victory.